You are listening to KAYT-FM, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1, K255-BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9 FM, K223-BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 FM, KQJO, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3 FM, and K261EB, Lake Charles, 100.1 FM, and online at www.kaytfm.com, the heart and soul of Central Louisiana.
The Central Louisiana Juneteenth Association presents the 26th Annual Juneteenth Cultural and Heritage Celebration. Theme, Let's Do This Together. Starting Thursday, June 13th at 6:30 p.m. Downtown Rock, featuring Leon Shavers and the Zydeco Flames. Friday, June 14th, young ladies will compete in the Miss Juneteenth pageant starting at 7 p.m. at the Alexandria Downtown Convention Hall. It's free to the public. Saturday, June 15th, the annual Juneteenth Parade begins at 5 p.m. from Broadway Avenue to the Alexandria Amphitheater with live music from Keith Frank and the Swallow Zydeco Band. Monday, June 17th is Youth Day at the Downtown Convention Hall. Youth Etiquette, performing arts workshop from 3 to 5 p.m. and a quiz bowl at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, June 18th, let's go worship at the Second Evergreen Baptist Church with guest pastor Joe Gant of Shreveport. And Wednesday, June 19th, it's the Juneteenth Empowerment Summit at the Bolton Avenue Community Center. The 26th Annual Juneteenth Association, a week of celebration for the entire family.
The Juneteenth Association is a proud sponsor of KAYT-KQJO.
Let's have a word of prayer tonight. God, we thank you afresh for being our God. We love and we bless you tonight for being the all-sufficient God. We thank you for being the God of grace, the God of benevolence, God of love, the God of majesty. Thank you for being our sovereign God. It is in you, God, that we live and we move and we have our very being. We thank you afresh tonight for your compassions that fail not and your mercies that are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. How we honor you tonight for being faithful to us, even when we've been so unfaithful to you. Thank you that Dion had reminded us tonight that all we have needed, your hand has provided. Thank you for supplying all of our needs. We give you glory, we bless you, we give you praise. Your word tells us that praise is comely for the upright, and so we gather to say thank you, Jehovah Jireh. Thank you for your continued provisions for us. We bless you for what you've done. Thank you for 196 years that you've kept this place called Varick Memorial. God, for nearly two centuries, you've kept this ministry, and we give you praise. Thank you that although she's come through storms and fire, the church still remains strong. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the past 7 years that you've allowed this mighty man of valor to serve here in ministry. Thank you to Pastor Morrison for his wife and for his family. And thank you for the revival that you're sending to this ministry through this Joshua. We ask your continued blessings upon him and his family. Thank all these ministers who are here tonight, all of my sisters and brothers who proclaim your unsearchable riches. And we ask your blessings upon them, to the stewards of this church and leaders of this church and all who've come throughout this community. Thank you for supplying our needs. Now, our strong God, I need you tonight to speak to my heart, to declare what you would have me to speak to your people. I pray as the psalmist tonight that you would open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I pray as the apostle Paul now that you you give me the utterance and the boldness to speak, to make known the mysteries of your gospel. As we're praying now, as we are standing near our neighbors, we don't come selfishly tonight. We humbly ask that you touch our neighbors in a significant way. Don't let them go home the same way we came. And so we speak that breakthrough and provisions are in this place even now. Set the captive free. Pull down strongholds. Let yokes be destroyed right now. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God praise right there. We give God a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Let's thank God for the man of God tonight, Pastor Milton Morrison. What an awesome man of God he is. And I'm so delighted and so tremendously blessed to be. You may be seated, praise the Lord. So blessed and so delighted to be here. The reputation of this church precedes you, and I want to commend you for being a great church. My godson, my son in the ministry, rants and raves about this church as he's been a student here at Yale University, and Pastor Morrison and members of this church have been so kind to him, and he has just given so many accolades about this ministry, and I want to thank you for how you blessed him and touched him. Means so much to me. I want to thank you for that, for your graciousness and for your kindness. Amen. We brought some of our media ministry products out there. They're in the rear. My latest book is out there and a few other products. We have a series entitled Act Like a Man and Act Like a Woman and Think Like You're Ready for a Man. Act Like a Woman but Never Lose Yourself for a Man. Another series entitled Flavor of Love is out there. About preparing, how do you know you're ready for a relationship? It's out there. And another series entitled, Can You Handle Where God Is Taking You? Probably one of the most impactful series I've ever done, and my new book is out there. And so those products will be out there. I'd be happy to sign them for you. God has allowed us to be on national television on the Word Network. I want to ask you to support every Tuesday morning at 8:30. I need your support. Purchases your partnership helps us to carry the word of God all over the world. So please do that. I'm going to give these to Pastor. Pastor, you can give these out to anybody in the church. Somebody you know that's getting married, or somebody you know that's getting divorced, or whatever. Just bless them or call them. Amen. Let's give Pastor hands. He's going to bless you with those gifts. Thank God for this wonderful music ministry and choir and praise teams. We give them all a hand. What a wonderful gift he is. Thank you, my friend, my brother. If you have your Bibles now, turn with me to a familiar passage. I want you to stand with me, and I'm not going over your patience long. I want to thank you for your support. You've been so kind to Reverend John Stevens and I, as the director of our ministry, who traveled with me this week. I want to thank you for your support of him. It's been a wonderful blessing. I appreciate you for supporting us this week. 2 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. And for the benefit of brevity, the 7th verse. I think my wife is tuning in. I want to say hello to her. She's watching online. Hey, lady, how you doing? Good to see you, baby. Amen. See you soon. Amen. Y'all say hey to my wife. She's watching online too. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. You got to say, I've got it. It reads thusly, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I want to talk tonight from this thought very simply: when Satan blesses. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor.
I want to tell you something.
There are times in your life
and in my life
when even the devil
can bless you.
And I solicit your prayers, please.
Even the devil can bless you.
Without a doubt, my beloved, the premier enemy of the redeemed is none other than Lucifer himself. Scriptures clearly articulate the mission statement of Satan, for Satan's job is threefold. In that he has come to both kill, to steal, and destroy. There's nothing lovely in the character of Satan. There's nothing exemplary in the countenance of Satan. Satan is the premier foe of the redeemed. Yet, with all of that being said and being true, for some reason or another, the further we move from that period that was called antiquity into this period, which is called postmodernity, it is clear now that the more educated, the more enlightened, and the more rational minds now have begun to discredit, deny, and even denounce the reality of Satan. It is clear now, for some strange reason, that the more educated we become, the less significance and the less belief that we even give to the demonic or the satanic realm. It's unfortunate that over 70% of Americans declare some belief in God, but less than 40% believe in the demonic or the satanic realm. As a matter of fact, brothers and sisters, it's problematic. In my town where I live in Atlanta, one of our most influential bishops a few years ago said to the members of that church that he doesn't even want the name devil mentioned in that church because, in his opinion, the devil is dead. And the only power that we give the devil, he says, is the life that we give the devil with our mouths. Some others of this New Age movement and others have suggested that Satan is created by gullible people who need somebody to blame for their dysfunction. And so to make us feel better about ourselves and our own misfunctions, we love to use the demonic trump card to take responsibility off of us. They suggest there's no such thing as the devil. For many people, they feel that Satan is some fictitious mythological character perpetrated by gullible folk and that he's only some abstract metaphysical ambiguity. And that if you really have some sense and some enlightenment and some intellect, there's no reason why you should believe in anything that is satanic. I want you to know that most mainline denominations in terms of faith in the Western Hemisphere are on the decline. Whether it be the Baptist Church, or the United Methodist Church, or the AME Church, or the CME Church, or the AME Zion Church, most of our churches are on the decline. But the fastest growing group in the globe is this group that has arisen in worship to Satan. And there are now houses of worship being built all over the land that are built specifically to honor and give homage to Satan. To make matters worse, there's even now a growing church. It is called the Church of Bay. It is a church that has been designated for the worship of Beyonce. Because Beyonce's lyrics are spiritual in that some young lady a few days ago even killed herself at an altar that she built in the basement of her home to offer a sacrifice to her god, Beyonce. And brothers and sisters, while we believe that Satan is not real, scriptures clearly tell us that he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Even the ancient world and pagan worlds believed in the reality of the demonic. In the ancient Near East, did they feel that the entire cosmos was permeated with the satanic realm. the 6th century B.C. in Iran, that a guy whose name was Zoroaster espoused what he felt was a duality between the forces of good and evil. He did not believe that the Messiah would come 600 years later, but he did believe that good and evil were two contradicting equal forces, with good having no ultimate power over evil, neither did evil having no more power over good, according to Zoroastrianism. Brothers and sisters, even the pagan world acknowledged the reality of Satan. But what I want to tell you tonight, we don't have to look to the pagan world to see where Satan exists. All we need to do is look at the pages of Scripture. From the Old Testament, there are 7 books in the Old Testament that have an explicit reference to Satan. Satan is mentioned in every book of the New Testament. There are 29 passages in the Gospels where Satan is mentioned, and Jesus our Lord was speaking on 25 of those 29 occasions. All I'm trying to tell you tonight, no matter how big the Bible is you tote, how many scriptures you quote, you can have oil from your head to your toe jam. You can speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but what I want to let you know is none of us ever get exempt from the attacks of Satan. Oh, my beloved, I came to tell you tonight that Satan is real. Well, brother, if Satan is real, then it seems that there's a theological issue with your subject. I mean, for you to suggest that the enemy is the premier enemy of the redeemed? Well, if the enemy is the premier enemy and the premier foe of us, if Satan's job is to steal, kill, and destroy, then it seems almost contradictory for you to say that Satan can bless us. How can our enemy, who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy us, bless us? I thought every blessing, every good, and every perfect gift came from above. I thought that the Lord was the source of all blessings. What do you mean? It seems almost heretical and blasphemous and unorthodox to suggest that Satan, the devil, can bless us. My sisters and my brothers, I want to share with you tonight that through the sovereignty of God, that there are times in all of our lives when Satan was trying to take us out. When he thought that what he was going to do to us was going to burden, bother, and badger us. I'm here to tell you that God, through God's own sovereignty, can take even the most fierce attack of your enemy. And when Satan thought he was trying to destroy you, I came to tell you tonight that sometimes when you look back on what Satan took you through, that you can realize that it did not destroy you, it developed you. Do I have a witness around here tonight? I don't know why God sent me this way, but somebody needs to be revived because it seems like you've been beat down by the enemy. It seems like you're wondering, when is the enemy going to take up? When are these burdens going to be alleviated and be eliminated? God sent me to tell somebody, hold on, keep enduring, because you're going to look back at some of the most difficult moments in your life. And at the end of this message, you're going to be able to say, thank you, devil. Yeah, it's easy for us to say, thank you, Jesus. But I'm hoping by the next 20 minutes, you'll be able to look at the devil and say, thank you, devil. Because what you thought you were going to do to me to take me out, you didn't take me out. You really took me to another level. Well, preacher, where are you getting this theological and homiletical premise from? As I really look at the text before us tonight, no more clearly is my point of preachment more clear than it is in the passage before us, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This penman of this passage is this guy whose name was Saul. He was Saul from Tarsus. He was a tent maker from Tarsus. He was a member of the Pharisee party, that party which had arisen early in the 2nd century B.C. to protest the fact that military leaders had been nominated as the high priest. That group arose in protest and demonstration to the secularization of the high priest office. They believed in a strict adherence to the law, the Mishnah, the Pentateuch, and the Torah. This was the particular party of whom Saul belonged. He was a member of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the 8th day after his birth. He had gone to the prep schools of Palestine, matriculated at the University of Jerusalem, was tutored at the feet of the Rabbi Gamaliel. The first time we see him in scriptures in Acts chapter 7, when those men got ready to throw stones at the first diaconi,
first deacon of the church, Deacon Stephen. He was a young man whose name was Saul, who served as the maitre d'. He held the coats of those men who threw rocks at Deacon Stephen. According to Acts chapter 8, after Stephen's death, he went around like a wild pig, like a wild animal, locking up anybody who was a part of this movement called The Way. According to Acts chapter 9, he secured letters from the high priest, was on his way to Damascus to persecute the church of the Lord Jesus, looking for men and women, boys and girls. He wanted to make sure that this movement called Jesus, this Jesus movement, was stopped and hushed and silenced forever. And so he saddled his horse, got on the street called Straight, headed down to this place there, trying to stop the movement of the Lord Jesus. But on this Damascus road, on a street called Straight, the hunter became the hunted. God knocked him off of his horse and changed him from a hell raiser to a heaven's praiser. Blinded him for 3 days and changed his name from Saul to Paul. On the first missionary journey with his friend Barnabas, along with Barnabas' nephew John Mark, carrying the gospel throughout Asia Minor and to Gentile regions. On that first missionary journey, they got in that area called Pamphylia. John Mark got scared and went back home to his mama. Paul and John Barnabas finished that first journey together, got ready to go on a second journey, and Barnabas wanted to reclaim his nephew, John Mark. Paul said, no way. They split company, and so John Mark and Barnabas went their way. Paul chose a new fellow whose name was Silas. They finished the second and third missionary journeys. It is that same Saul who became Paul, who's the penman of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And as we open this particular opus, he begins by speaking in third person. Speaking about himself, but speaking in third person. He says, I knew a man, talking about himself, speaks in third person. He says, I knew a man about 14 years ago. He says, I don't know if this man had an in-the-body or an out-of-the-body experience. He says, but this man was so blessed by God. It was a sovereign blessing. He said that God caught me up, talking about himself, to the third heaven. It was a sovereign blessing. He says, I saw some stuff that was so beautiful that I can't even tell you. He says, God gave me an eschatological glimpse of the end times. I saw the abode of Christ. I saw the third heaven. He said it was so awesome that he came back to tell me, Paul, you can't tell anybody what you saw. He said, well, I saw stuff that other apostles did not see. I was that apostle who was born out of due season, but he blessed me to let me see heaven. He says it was a sovereign blessing. He says, but as soon as I came back down to earth, there was another blessing waiting for me. He says, when I got back down to earth, here it is. He says, friends, the devil messed around and blessed me. Paul, I don't get this, because somebody here has been dealing with some stuff on their jobs, in their bodies, and on their finances, and in relationships that's about to drive them crazy, and they've been rebuking the enemy. Paul told me to tell you, sometimes don't rebuke the enemy. Because sometimes, even though you think he may need to be rebuking, when you look back on what he did in your life, you'll be able to say, devil, thank you for every trap you set. Because what you've done as a result of your activity is you helped me to grow. And I want to suggest tonight that Paul says, in these few moments I have to share with you, that the devil blessed him. And this is how you and I can know when the devil is blessing us likewise. He said, number one, you'll know that the devil blesses you. Here it is, because, get this, that will be the reception of a special gift. Let me say that again. That will be the reception of a special gift. He says, verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Here it is, that was given to me. I was not looking for it. I did not ask for it. I did not pay for it. That was given to me. The fact that it was given to me makes it a gift. That was given to me, he says, a thorn in the flesh. That phrase, there's a scallops. That means like a dagger, like a knife. A dagger was placed in my socks, in my anatomy. It was an excruciatingly painful condition, like a knife. Like a stake in my flesh. Now there's some inconclusivity regarding the exact nature of Paul's thorn. What was this thorn? We're really uncertain. Some commentators suggest that maybe his thorn was an eye condition called chronic ophthalmia, a dreadful eye condition that led to mucus chronically and profusely falling from the apostle's optic membranes. Some others suggest maybe his thorn was pain over a previous divorce. Some others suggest that his thorn was the fact that he was lonely and wanted to be married, and because he was a very highly unattractive fella, that no woman wanted him. We don't really know what his thorn was, but we do know who bequeathed it to him. He said, the messenger of Satan. Get this. He said, one of Satan's imps, one of Satan's emissaries gave me a thorn in my flesh, he says, and it was painful. Help me, Holy Ghost. He says, but the pain that the enemy gave me, he thought that it was going to take from me. That by giving me pain, that pain was going to be a liability. But in actuality, the pain turned out not to be a liability, but it turned out to be an asset. And I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but somebody else has gone through some painful stuff. And you wonder, why did God allow the devil to make you go through something that was so painful? Here it is. You don't understand the pain and why you're going through it. But can I tell you something? When you come out of it, you can testify there was purpose in my pain. You can testify that God took me to another level through my pain. He says there's the reception of a special gift. But not only when the devil blesses you, will there be the reception of a special gift. Get this, number two, that will be the removal of self-glory. Are you going to help me preach this? That will be the removal of self-glory. The reception of a special gift, that's his pain. But the removal of self-glory. What do you see that, Smith? It's in verse 7. He says, look how he opens and closes verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. Look how he closes verse 7. Lest I should be exalted. Paul says, here's the reality. When the devil gave me this thorn, when I got back down from heaven, it really hurt me. But simultaneously, it helped me. He says, because the stuff God did for me, it should have made me so conceited and so arrogant, because he showed me stuff that nobody else has ever seen. And what the devil really messed up by doing was giving me the thorn. Because if he had not given me the thorn, I may have gotten caught up in pride. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And you do know the Bible said that God resisted the proud, but it gives grace to the humble. That pride goes just before the fall. So if the devil would have left me alone, I may have self-destructed, because I may have thought that it was all about me and I was all that and a bag of chips. But when he gave me this special gift, it kept me from being exalted above measure. Thank you, devil. Let me talk to somebody tonight. You know what? You know the greatest thing that may have happened to some of us was when you got fired from your job. You don't want to talk to me, Rowdy. Yes, thank you, devil. The enemy is so busy. Thank you. You know why you can say it was a blessing? Because before you got that job, you were faithful. You were humble. You treated people right. But now since you got a new job, you walk around looking at people like you're better than them, smelling them. And so instead of coming to worship God on Sunday, you golf on Sunday. Instead of lifting Christ, you wash your car on Sunday because you got a little job. You ain't saying nothing to me. And you got so caught up in your money, but what the devil did by letting you get fired, he allowed your portfolio to look like a sick man's EKG. And now ever since you lost that job and the car is gone, now you're back down to earth so somebody can talk to you. They can reason with you. Now you're back to shaking people's hands rather than acting like you're smelling something when you're looking at folk in the church. Thank you, devil. Because sometimes it takes pain to make some of us be humble. Let me talk to some of the young ladies around here tonight. Maybe it was you. You were in Varick Memorial Church every Sunday, every Wednesday, all the services, praise team, choir, ushers, Christian education ministry. It was just you and Jesus. But then you went to Hartford and met Junebug in the mall. And you met Junebug in the mall and took Junebug home and put Jesus out. Stop coming to church. Stop giving your tithe because you got a man now. But then 9 months later, Junebug left you and married Faye Mae Quisha. And you were crying, why did the devil do this to me? But ever since Junebug left you, you back at the altar, back in the Do I have a witness around this house? Something's happened in our lives that can be demonic to let us know what you are, God made you. What you have, God gave you. What you know, God taught you. And where you are, God brought you. Sometimes. Some of us are more humble since the devil was messing with you. Thank you, devil. That reception of a special gift, that's my pain. The removal of self-glory, that's my pride. But thirdly, thank you, devil, because when the devil blesses you, get this, devil be, get this now, the resolution to speak with God. The resolution to speak with God is right there in verse 8. Paul says, for this thing. For what thing, Paul? For this thorn in my flesh, for this scallops in my socks. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. He said, you know what happened to me doing? I said, what, Paul? He said, as soon as I got the thorn, the devil thought when he gave me this thorn is I was going to happy hour. Don't you look at him. Don't you look at him like you don't know what he's talking about. Because a lot of us, when we go through demonic strife and adversity, when we caught hell all week long, the first thing you want is some Hennessy, some Patron, some Johnny Walker Red. Come on, tell the truth, shame the devil. Some of y'all ain't been in church all your life. The devil thought he was going to make me get drunk or let me go to Jamaica to be like Stella and get my groove back. He thought when he was messing with me, he was going to run me away from church. He says, but you know what happened? As soon as I got this special gift, not only did it remove self-glory, but it made me speak with God. For this thing, I besought the Lord. Y'all ain't feeling me here. Three times. In other words, when the devil started messing with me, the first thing I did, I start praying. Thank you, devil. Because now I get this. Here it is. Sometimes the throne room is the way to the throne room. Y'all ain't saying nothing. See, some of us would not pray unless you were going through hell. Some of you would not pray unless you had some issues in your life. So thank you, devil, because since you've been messing with me, I'm talking to God more than I ever have. Thank you, devil. You know what? Some of you got some lowdown and some pusillanimous and duplicitous supervisors. They're on your last nerve, and you asking God to get rid of them. Or why I got to go through so much drama on my job? You know what God says? I put that supervisor there. I allowed the devil to put that supervisor there. You know why? Because when you go to work tomorrow, you don't listen to Steve Harvey. You don't listen to Tom Joyner. You don't listen to Ricky Smiley or Yolanda Adams or the local gospel station. But you know what you do when you go to work now? You turn your radio down, and the whole way to work, Lord, hold my tongue, guide my mind. Don't let me go taekwondo on a Negro. Keep my mind up in here, up in here. Thank you, devil, because now I'm talking to God. Do I have anybody around here who can testify that sometime when things are going well in our lives? Wouldn't be as close to God as we are if we had not been through the stuff that the enemy took us through. Thank you, devil. So let me tell you something. Stop trying to fight and rebuke your enemies. Sometimes they're necessary. You know why God has to let the enemy come in your way and attack you? Because you've been praying, Lord, take me higher. Do you know what you're really praying? Lord, I want to go higher. Well, when I want to go higher, I need to be elevated. In order for me to be elevated, I got to have some satanic attack. Because he makes my enemies my footstool. So I can't climb higher if I ain't got no enemies. I wish I had somebody to talk to me to step on. Thank you, devil. So the next time somebody trying to destroy you and you know it's nothing but the devil, do me a favor. Go wash your hands. Get your hand sanitizer. Put a with some Chateaubriand. And if you ain't careful, you can chase it down with some Dom Perignon. Right there in the presence. So get it. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your. Thank you, devil. Now I'm getting ready to eat because of you. He says, ever since the devil been messing with me, now I have an affinity with divinity. I've got a hookup with the holy. I got interaction with the infinite. I have a dialogue with the divine. Thank you, devil! That's the reception of a special gift. That's my pain. That's the removal of self-glory. That's my pride. That's a resolution to speak with God. That's my prayer. But there's one more thing that can happen when the devil blesses you. Not only will that be the reception of a special gift, your pain, the removal of self-glory, your pride, the resolution to speak with God, your prayer. But fourth and finally, that will be the recognition of sustaining grace. Thank you, Dion. Thank you, praise team. Y'all confirmed this for me in that first song. The recognition of sustaining grace. Look at Paul, verse 8. Paul says, for this thing, I prayed to God three times. That it might depart from me. And here's a good hermeneutic for those of us who think that you just can name it, claim it, haul it, call it, blab it, and grab it. Paul goes to God and listen to this conversation between this creature and his creator. Paul says, God, will you move this storm? God says back to Paul, no, Paul. Paul looks back at God and says, God, why won't you move this pain? Why won't you remove it? God says back to Paul, Paul, because you're doing all right with it. You're going to finish three missionary journeys with it. You're going to establish churches all over Asia Minor with it. You speak in tongues more than anybody else with it. Your faith has gone from faith to faith. You're going to write half of the New Testament with it. I'm not going to move it. Boy, you're doing too good. You're more humble with it. You're talking to me more with it. You're praying more with it. Why would I move it?
Come on.
Sometimes God says, no, I'm afraid of if I lift you too high, because I'm afraid that sometimes if I lift you too high, I may lose you. This is what H. Richard Niebuhr, the brother of Reinhold Niebuhr, would call a case. Well, God sometimes in our lives, get this now, God will sometimes become our enemy in order to anthropomorphically become our friend. He becomes Paul's enemy by allowing the enemy to give him a thorn. He says, Paul, listen, nope, I'm not going to move every hater. Nope, I may not move your sickness. Nope, I may not move you off of chemotherapy. Nope, I may not move you off of dialysis. Nope. Your child may not leave that game right now. No. I'm not going to move it. I will not make an extraction, Paul. However, I will make a deposit. My grace is sufficient for you. I won't take the thorn away, but what I will do is I'll give you favor in the midst of your frustration. And I wish I had somebody who can testify. Favor than finances. Because finances can leave me, but if I got favor, I can get a job I didn't qualify for. If I got favor, I can get a house with tore-up credit. If I got favor. So some of you are wondering, why won't the devil leave me alone? When is this attack going to leave? because God kept you with his grace when you couldn't keep yourself. And that's why you shouldn't need a praise team to pump you happy or a preacher to preach you happy. But when you think about the grace of God, how he's kept you in spite of everything you've been through. He says, I'm not going to move it because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. In other words, Paul, the weaker you are, the stronger I am. And he said, therefore, most gladly will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, so most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. He said, so get this now. I take pleasure in my reproaches. I take pleasure in my necessities. I take pleasure in my persecution. I take pleasure in my infirmities. I take pleasure in my distresses for Christ's sake. Paul says, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. And so here's the reality. You and I would never be strong if it was not for the enemy's attacks. And do we have a witness in the building? And so I've learned how to thank God for every demonic adversity. I've learned how to thank God for every trap the enemy has set for me. Because now I recognize that it was by God's grace that I'm here on tonight. And Varick Memorial should be able to testify that God's grace has kept you for 196 long years. Do I have a witness in the building? And we can give God praise because whenever the enemy is messing, the Lord hears blessing. Do I have a witness in the building? And I don't know about y'all tonight. But I thank God because I've had many tears and sorrows. And I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times in my life, y'all, where I didn't write from wrong. But in every situation, he gives me blessed consolation. He lets me know that I am here on. Thank God for my mountains. I thank my God for my valleys. Yes, Lord, I thank him for the storms he's already brought me through. And, 'cause if I never had a problem, I would not know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know tonight what faith in God's word can do. Do I have a witness in the building? Yes, Lord. I don't know about y'all tonight, but I've had some good days. And I've had some bad days. Yes, Lord. And I've had tonight some hill to climb. But when I look around and think things over, and all of my good days still outweigh my bad days, and I won't complain. And why don't you shake a neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, I don't know about you tonight, but I've had my share of life's ups and downs. I've had my share of it live. But through it all, I've learned to trust.
is around New Haven, Connecticut. Through it all tonight, I've learned to trust in God. A hurricane called Katrina came through the Gulf Coast region. Oh, Lord, in the city of New Orleans, in the Ninth Ward, there was an old lady who was taking care of a grandson. This grandmother was taking care of a grandson because his mama was in jail and his daddy had been killed in gang violence. They were poor and lived in a shotgun house. They were very poor. You can look through the roof and see the stars. Look through the floor and see the dirt. But that night when Katrina came to New Orleans, that old lady and her son, grandson, had to stand on the roof of the house. They were rescued by a boat that took them to the Morial Convention Center down there in New Orleans, Louisiana. They were there without food for a couple of days. But after being there for about 1 week, a bus from Atlanta, Georgia, a group of philanthropists came to New Orleans and brought busloads of people from New Orleans back to Atlanta. When they got them back to Atlanta, they interviewed the old lady who did not have a job, did not have a 401k or 403b. She was poor and impoverished. Her grandson was getting ready to graduate from high school in 2006. But can I tell y'all what happened when she went to the interview? She came out of the interview about 45 minutes later. And when she came out of the interview, she was smiling. She was singing and she was whistling. Her grandson was having a crisis of faith. He believed that God had abandoned him. He looked at his grandmama and said, "Grandmama, why are you singing? We don't have a roof over our heads. We lost everything that we own." But then her grandmama looked at the grandboy and said, son, you don't understand. While I was in the interview, I interviewed with six people, and I got good news for you. They're going to get me a job as a receptionist at the Emory University Hospital. Son, they're going to pay me $65,000 a year, more money than I ever made in my entire life. She said, son, they're going to build us a brand new house. Son, it's going to have 4 bedrooms, going to have 2.5 bathrooms. I'm going to have me a jacuzzi in the master bathroom. But she looked at her grandson and said, what you don't understand is this. If it had not been for the trouble that we had, if it had not been for the wind and the rain, we wouldn't be blessed the way we're blessed. And so the storm really was a blessing in disguise, because after the hell we've been through, God's gonna give us a favor. Now do me a favor, shake your neighbor's hand and look at somebody and say, neighbor, I don't know what your problem is. I don't know, neighbor, what kind of stuff you're going through. God's gonna take you higher. He's gonna take you higher. You're gonna run through troops and leap over walls. Do you believe that the devil can take his best shot, but it's not gonna kill you? You're gonna praise God, cause favor is around the corner. Somebody shout favor. Somebody shout grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. I was blind,
Frustration to favor. Open your mouth right now and pray for those people that you're touching. Don't you play with this. Open your mouth. Let's fill this auditorium. Open your mouth. Open your mouths and pray for those. It doesn't matter if you know their names or not. Pray that God will meet their needs and lead them.
It will always be. Since 6 a.m. this morning,
why do you work?
KAYT has presented the gospel in both sermon and song.
Victory, but you got to believe.
We trust you've been blessed. And will join us again tomorrow morning, beginning at 6 a.m., for the very best in gospel radio all day long. Stay tuned next for the entertainment portion of KAYT's broadcast day. In the meantime, you gotta have faith.